We are here at the Kibenda Farm in Limuru in Kiambu County in the Republic of Kenya. And we are continuing our conversations around Africa. Today, we focus on one of the most notorious figures ever to have walked the surface of this earth, Leopold II, referred to as the King of the Belgians. His notoriety stems from the fact that from the heart of Belgium, he came to the heart of Africa in the Democratic Republic of Congo and perpetrated some of the most heinous crimes ever perpetrated by man against man. It is estimated that through the activities of Leopold of the Belgians, about 15 million Congolese died. It has never been acknowledged, but those are the estimates, and books have been written about it, including The Ghosts of Leopold. What did he do when he came to the heart of Congo in the year 1885? First, he created a country which he called the Congo Free State as a personal property. It was not the property of Belgium. It was his own personal property. And in order to understand what one is talking about, Congo is larger than the entire Western Europe combined. That is how big the land was. And in those early days, King Leopold embarked on a scheme of poaching. There were numerous elephants in that particular region. In 1885, when he went into that territory that is now called the Democratic Republic of Congo and converted it to what it was. And it is instructive that when he made it his personal property, it was his own to do whatever he wanted with it. And no sooner had he created that as a personal property than he requested a conference in Berlin. Many people don't know that the conference in Berlin in 1884 and 1885 is sometimes referred to as Leopold's Conference. And at that time, the conference, which was convened by Bismarck of the Germans, was actually designed for the purpose of creating territories so that there would be no conflict. In other words, other powers would have their own territory. But Leopold, being from a small country called Belgium and fearful of his own cousin, Victoria in England was his cousin, he wanted to ensure that the territory in the Free Congo was safe from the intervention of everybody else. And therefore, the Berlin Conference drew the boundaries that we now know. He then came back to the Congo Free State, his personal territory. And trade had at that time shifted from ivory to rubber. Rubber was becoming very important, particularly because the motor industry had started and companies needed rubber to make tires. And he ensured that the people participated in that trade. Stories are told that if you did not bring quantities of rubber in the manner that was allotted to you, your hand would be cut. And many amputees are documented with photographs, sometimes exhibited in Brussels, of Africans whose hands had been chopped off. And if you tried to run away, they would chop your foot. That is what Leopold did in that part of the world. His atrocities were so bad that in 1908, the rest of the Western powers became aware of what he was doing. I think one of the explorers, Stanley, gave a report to the Royal Geographical Society and said, "What I've seen in Congo is something that the world has never seen. The manner in which the Congolese are being tormented at the behest of Leopold as he looks for ivory, as he looks for rubber and other things is something that had never been seen." And it is in that regard, therefore, that the Western powers then
decided at that time that the territory which was a personal possession of King Leopold should be taken away from him and should be given to the Belgian government in the year 1908. And therefore, it became a territory of Belgium and a colony of Belgium in the year 1908. But remember, the style of governance did not change at all, because at that particular time, he was not only active in the Democratic Republic of Congo, at that time, he was also active, or his administration was active in different parts of Africa, particularly in Rwanda, Burundi, which was to be given to them after the Germans had been kicked and defeated in the World War I. So that even when Leopold of the Congo or Leopold of the Belgian stopped being in direct operation of these territories, the administration policy continued. And what was the administration policy of the Belgians? Don't educate them. Don't build any infrastructure. Make sure that you control all their resources. Make sure that they are answerable to the government in Brussels. And make sure that whatever there is in that country is taken away from them and taken to Brussels and to other parts of Belgium, such as Antwerp in Ghent, which was then the center of trade in most of Europe at that time. And that is why, therefore, you see, out of a deliberate policy, the Democratic Republic of Congo, as we know it, which regained independence in 1961, if you visit that part of the world, there is no infrastructure, no roads to talk about, because the Belgians had a deliberate policy of ensuring that there were no roads. He ensured that there was animosity amongst the tribes, because it was divide and rule. So he ensured that the Bangala, Batetela, Bakongo, Baluba, they were governed totally different. He was a master of divide and rule, because it is in dividing and ruling that he was then able to control the labor. And he did not stop there. The mode of governance also ensured that the resources of the Democratic Republic of Congo were looted and taken to Brussels. Today, I tell many people who care to hear that if you go to Brussels and go to little Belgium and see it sparkling as it is, that is what Congo should have been, because the timber that you find there in the equatorial forest was taken away from the Democratic Republic of Congo. The resources that you see there in terms of gold and other resources and other minerals were taken from the Democratic Republic of Congo, so that the legacy of King Leopold of the Congos was King Leopold of the Belgium was one of decimation and one of genocide. We don't talk about the genocidal activities of King Leopold, because at that time the world had not seen genocide in the manner that it was to be seen a little later in Germany, and therefore leading to the coming into force of the Genocide Convention. But one of the greatest genocides ever visited by any power on a people was by Leopold. This has now been documented, and there are two writers who have mentioned of it in the Ghosts of King Leopold, and of course Ludo de Wet, who has written about the assassination of Lumumba, also does refer through historical records the legacy of King Leopold. And to the extent that he created a governance infrastructure that was designed to destroy a country and to destroy a people, his governance will go on record as being one of the worst ever in the history of mankind. Even when Leopold ceased to be the king of Belgium, his legacy remained alive. And therefore, one cannot talk about Leopold simply because Leopold stops with Leopold. The Leopold approach to governance continues even after Leopold is dead. And we see it with the manner in which they conduct themselves in Rwanda and Burundi, and they tried to create an environment that ultimately was to lead to the genocide in Rwanda by looking at people and looking at their physical features and saying, these are Hutus, these are Hutus, these are Tuas, and ultimately you see that this is the seed that was planted because of the governance of King Leopold. And when we talk about the genocide in Rwanda, we must always remember that the seed was planted several years ago. When we talk about the violence that we see in Congo today, and the violence that was visited and continues to be visited upon the Democratic Republic of Congo, we must see that as the legacy of King Leopold. You know, when I listened to some of the early resistance against the Belgians, there was a seer known as Kimpa Vita, Donna Beatrice. Donna Beatrice became a Christian and is the similitude, if you may, of Joan of Arc. And being a similitude of Joan of Arc, Kimpa Vita was one of the people who resisted the legacy of King Leopold because she saw it as a legacy. And the other person was also a spiritualist, Simon Kimbangu. Simon Kimbangu, as we know, created a Christian denomination. And this is what Simon Kimbangu said very famously. He said that because of the violent nature of our governance and the manner in which we were governed, Congo will regain independence in 1950 or 1960s, but immediately after independence, there'll be so much violence that we will regret. And this is because of a man called Leopold. And I could see that even after Leopold had gone and changes had come, even when other kings came, like King Baudouin, who was the one who presided over the granting of independence to the Democratic Republic of Congo, the culture and style of governance that had been created by King Leopold of the Belgians is the one that persisted. So what was the culture? What was the impact? Leopold was a racist. Leopold was a looter. Leopold was a megalomaniac. Leopold was a kleptocratic leader. Leopold was a person who was narcissistic, who was obsessed with the idea of having wealth for his own benefit to the detriment of the people of Congo. Leopold therefore created an environment which did not allow the people in the Democratic Republic of Congo to thrive, with the consequence that Belgian colonization stands out in history as being one of the most pernicious modes of governance in terms of its toll on human life. It tolls on animal life through ivory, through poaching. It toll on human beings because of the amputations. It toll psychologically because of the impact that it had. It toll on the country because of the resources that were taken away. It toll on the artifacts which were shifted away. It toll on the mode of government which has persisted today. It toll psychologically. King Leopold of the Belgians was a ghost which must be exorcised if the Democratic Republic of Congo is to regain her soul. She visited pain upon that country in a manner that history records on very few occasions. He was a monster, Leopold of the Belgians. You know, when we talk about Leopold of the Belgians and his animalistic activities, it is painful. It cannot be exhausted in a short time. But let us have our goodbyes as we continue the conversation about the continent of Africa.